Thank you, worship. Glory to God. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I started talking about difficulties, obstacles that people will find to achieve deliverance. And at the end of the service, actually a few days after, some people disputed the teaching because they thought it wasn't fair. All right, take it on God. I didn't mean to offend anybody. I was just instructed to say what I had to say. So last week I kind of shift theme, which cost me a year twist. I was told to go back to things that hinders deliverance. So for some reason, somebody here tonight needs to get a hold of this. The title of tonight's meditation is Hindrances to Deliverance. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, start on verse 17, there's a story that I just want to read with you to set the background for what we're going to be talking about. We're going to read 9, 17, 18 through 28. Read it with me. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy." Yikes. "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "Huh? What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of the onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said. "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." 26. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. 28. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" This is the scenario you just heard. Many of us have often prayed for family members, and sometimes year after year, and nothing happened. Can I have an amen here?
Amen.
And it has been, perhaps, occasions when you were assigned to pray for somebody or you were invited to pray for someone, And you prayed, and you gave all that you have on you, and there's still nothing happened. Have you been through this or heard someone went through this?
Yes.
Amen? So the very first tendency is to get discouraged. For one, the crowd will say, "Huh, I took them to that church, Christian Faith Center, nobody could heal him." The criticism will come right away. Because at some point, people expect us to be magicians, which we're not. You with me so far, right?
Yes.
But yet, it also may leave in us a sense of defeat. Why couldn't we cast this punk out? Are we still so far now?
Yes.
So obviously, we had a hindrance to the deliverance of this boy. It's also worthy to note that this fella has been sick from the time he was a young boy. And I am persuaded that his father tried many other venues. The question then is, why deliverance couldn't take place when the disciples prayed? They were all with Jesus, weren't they? They all saw the miracles that Jesus did, didn't they? Jesus granted to all of them power to tread the serpents and the scorpions and all the power of the evil one, didn't he? So, the question they had for Jesus in private, "Lord, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Well, I'm going to start by saying this. Number one, by the lack of faith in the person that needed the miracle. The boy couldn't believe because he was demon-possessed. So he couldn't believe and he could not profess Jesus. And yet the father, who could believe, was similar to many Christians today. He looked at Jesus and said, "Well, Lord, if you can do something for us, please help us." Jesus asked, "What? What do you mean if you can? All things are possible for people who believe." Jesus is establishing a standard here to be followed. When the people believe, anything can happen. End of story.
Amen.
We're together so far, right?
Yes.
The man said, "I do believe, but help me with my unbelief." How in the world are you going to say that you believe and ask help with your unbelief? What do you mean? Like men in church today, "I believe in God, but I may not really believe that God can heal. I believe God can save, but I am not so sure that God can heal." Are you with me here?
Yes.
A divided faith or a double-minded faith will always be a hindrance for one to receive a full answer for their prayers. And then, I'm starting tonight by saying, in the case of the disciples, the failure that they had in getting this boy delivered, I believe, was a lack of spiritual discipline. And I want you to pay attention on this. Verse 29, Jesus says the following. Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." So where do you see a lack of discipline in this, you may ask? Now, if you were to go to either to the King James or the New King James, it's going to tell you something else. Brothers, may I have one of the two? New King James. "This kind can come out but by nothing but prayer and fasting. What is the difference between the two translations? One omitted the word fasting. Is that correct? That called my attention. What? So I went to the so revered King James, and the King James in itself says the same thing. So I'm to go, come on, guys, NFL people, are you messing me up now? So I went to the Greek New Testament. And after checking three different translations of the Greek New Testament, voila. The oldest Greek New Testament does not have the word fasting. Is anybody listening to me here?
Yes.
There's an explanation for this. At this time of this incident, the disciples of Jesus were not required to fast. Did anybody hear what I said?
Yes.
Let's go back to the New Living Translation. Take this thing out of there. This kind can be cast out only by prayer. The word fast is omitted in the old manuscripts. Because at the time when this statement was made, the disciples of Jesus were not required to fast. How do you know? When the scribes and Pharisees brought this theme up, Jesus told them they don't have to fast. Let's go to Luke 5, 34 and 35. And he said unto them, can ye... Give me a translation, please. Give me something. Thank you. And they say to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them?
Uh-huh.
Are you getting the point?
Yes.
Jesus was still on the planet.
Uh-huh.
There was no need for the disciples to fast. Why? Back up us right there.
Yes.
You with me so far, right?
Yes.
Listen to the next scripture. 35. But days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days.
Amen.
So what you're saying? There's going to be cases of deliverance. There's going to be cases of prayer that will take a disciplined spiritual life in order to cast out the power of darkness behind the problem. Back then, Jesus, our groom, if you will, was still here. But now, he's no longer with us. So prayer and fasting are spiritual prerequisites for a successful encounter with demons.
Amen.
Prayer and fasting are an important element when we want to break through powerful demonic forces working in the lives of our loved ones. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying here tonight? There may be a time that we're going to have people in our family that are fully possessed, like this dude here was, his son was. So the boy couldn't fast for himself. And this is where a family member comes in. And to break the bondage of certain spiritual demonic forces is necessary for you and I to have a successful, constant prayer and fasting lifestyle. Anytime that we got involved in deliverance, we must have some kind of fasting and prayer on our monthly schedule. And when we talk about prayer, we're not talking about ritual prayer. You do know what is a ritual prayer, right? Father God, thank you very much for this day. Blah, 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 blah. The same repetitive thing. Sometimes I think, God must get bored. Some people come to pray and it's the same thing over and over and over. You may ask, how do you want me to pray? I don't want you to pray, no way. But if He is your Father, I doubt that every time that you met your father, your earthly father, hi Dad, how are you? I'm very happy to be your son or your daughter. Thank you very much for your house that you gave me and the food. Thank you, Dad. Are you with me here?
Yes.
We're not talking about methodic prayers or ritual prayers. We are talking about real prayers when you come and you pour yourself in the presence of God. Our Heavenly Father, Thou that dwellest in the highest heaven, get out of town. We're talking about sincere prayer. We're talking about relationship prayer. We're talking about people, somebody that you know, that you love, and that you know that's going to answer your prayers. So, in order for us to break through many of the strongholds in family lives, we must have a life of personal prayer accompanied by fasting. Now, let me say something here. This is not a requirement for people that gotta pray for a deliverance or in a deliverance situation to be fasting every day. Otherwise, you're gonna be in an eternal fast and you're gonna end up dying for the lack of nutrition. Are you understand what I'm saying here? When you go to the Greek New Testament and you read this scripture here, if you read the whole thing and you check every single verb, it gives an idea of having something continual. Not daily, but continual. Steady, but not sporadic. Does it make sense?
Yes.
I believe, my beloved brother and sister, that a spiritual disciplined person is one who is strong in prayer and do not despise fast in their lives. Are we together so far?
Amen. Yes.
These two spiritual ingredients will equip a minister to break through the hardest fence or chain in the life of family members. And it will also ensure necessary anointing to have an effective breakthrough.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Are we together?
Yes, Lord.
Number two, the reason that the disciples could not get rid of that demon, it's also stated in the same scripture on the previous verse. Verse 9:29. What do you mean? There is a variation in strength in the demon world. Are you with me? No. In the demonic sphere, there are degrees of power among them. There are different ranks. Jesus told us about that man that had been delivered from all demon oppression and possession, and his house was clean. And Jesus said that the demon that was on this guy went out looking for a place to rest, and they couldn't find it. He came and he looked, the house was clean. Y'all remember the story?
Yes.
He didn't get right back. Most like he figured out, he already know how to do it. He goes out, and the Bible said that he got seven other demons worse than himself. And they all moved in. This tells me that there are different ranks among the demonic world. Are y'all with me so far? And I believe that if we pay attention, Jesus made a distinction in this scripture here. He made a distinction between demons. Now somebody show me, what is the distinction here between demons? Somebody take a shot at me. This kind. Very good. This kind. Which means there are other kinds. So sometimes there is necessary not only a life of prayer, but a fast or two during the month. Because the demonic realm have a different kind of strength. And by the fact that Jesus said this kind, he's suggesting here that there's a distinction between demons. Demons are personalities that don't have a body, and they crave to have a body. Are you with me here? Just like in our world, some people have a stronger will than others. Is that correct? You for sure have heard about those wives, that they are sweet and they go along with everything and they are just a pudding. Pudding? Pudding. P-U-D-I-N, pudding. Or a flan. A flan. They are so sweet and they will go along with everything. Is that right? But then we have those other type of wives that are a little jazzy. We all know that too, right? Am I crazy or what? Jazzy. Jezebel? They're fistful. They're fightful. They'll try to rule over their husbands. Not that we have anything this in here. I'm just saying there are this type. They are what we call a strong-willed woman. And may God have mercy on those husbands. You are with me so far, right? So just like in the earthly realm, we have strong-willed people. In the demonic, there are different types of demons, and some of them are strong-willed. What are you talking about? When this guy brought the boy by Jesus' side, before Jesus came down, he had already done some lousy stuff, and the disciple couldn't handle that. Is that right? Then he got quiet. And the Bible says that after the daddy spoke all that nonsense, Jesus rebuked them, said, "Bring the boy to me." It says that when the demon saw Jesus, it threw the boy on the floor, and he had another violent convulsion. Is that correct? A strong-willed demon. So sometimes prayer alone may do for the cheap demon. But when you're dealing with the heavy-duty one, you better have some fast along with it. And if by any chance you and I come to a point, let me put me in first. If I and you come to a point that we'll be facing a situation and it didn't work first, then let's have some prayer. And let's have some fasting too. Then we'll go right back. The authority has been given to us. If those demons were so presumptuous to the point to throw that boy on the floor, right before Jesus' eyes, you think that they won't do before you and I? Are you with me here? So the key here is not to give up or to be afraid. We will insist. If it doesn't come out right away, it will shut up, because the name of Jesus is more powerful than any other name. Then we can go out, fast, a real fast, then come back. All right, now I'm going to handle you. Because Jesus said that kind of demon is only by prayer, and later we have fasting. Implicit on the answer that we have in the previous scriptures. We are commissioned, brothers and sisters, to wrestle. against Satan and all the punks that work with him. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. Read it with me. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts in wickedness. Right here, it gave us four different ranks of demons. So, what is the thing to be seen in here? The Greek word for wrestling, which is kana is jealousy. The Greek word for wrestling denotes the action of putting pressure on the enemy until he is conquered. Are you with me so far? This word wrestle here denotes the act of putting pressure on the enemy until he is conquered. Amen. So there is a different rank among the demons. And if pray alone don't do, then we're going to go back, we're going to fast, and we're going to continue to pray, and then we come in and we're going to put pressure on the devil until he gets frustrated and he leaves. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
I like the New Living Translation, also the backslide. Give me the NLT here, brother. Watch this. For we are not fighting. You got that? There's a fight out there. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirit in the heavenly places. You know, these very spirits, evil spirits, are the ones who stood on the way preventing the angel in Daniel 10 to bring an answer to the prayers of Daniel. And Daniel was fasting for 21 days. You remember that? And imagine, not even that broke through. It was necessary. Daniel's fast was good enough to touch the heart of the Father, to send Mike to beat up the demons that ruled over Persia. And that angel was set free to come and bring the answer for Daniel's prayers. So sometimes deliverance doesn't go very well. Sometimes we don't have certain answer for certain prayers because we might be dealing with a demon with some good amount of strength. And that's when the fast comes in hand.
Amen.
The backslider translation has it really sweet. Watch this. At least I like the way that he put. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to finish against the devil and all his angels. So we're gonna fight. If we pray and the answer didn't come, we don't give up. We do not give up. Giving up is not an option in our menu. If prayer didn't do, we're going to pray and fast and then take care of business. Are we still together?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I'm going to use one more point and we have to continue another time. Another obstacle for deliverance. Another hindrance to deliverance. Should I start this? I don't want to stop. Let me try. Another hindrance to deliverance are occult objects that you may have in your house.
What?
Yes. Occult objects. Some of you may say, you must be crazy. My beloved, Anybody that is praying for a breakthrough for a long time and hasn't got the answer, make sure that you do a thorough search on your books, on your magazines, on your library, and everything that you have. I was reading Derek Prince 5 years ago. At that time, I had some kind of Derek Prince fever. So everything I got from Derek Prince, I want to read. And in one of his books, he said that one time he used to go to China. He went to China so many times. Then once he moved to Israel and met Ruth and Mary with her and whatnot, he went to Israel on another trip by himself. And somebody in the church where he was ministering gave him a nice, beautiful rug. And that rug had the picture of a dragon. He didn't see nothing wrong with it. A church member gave it to him, and he took it. Came home and hung it up on his office. He said it was something, it's a beauty to behold. Then he says that his finances started going bad. And bad. And bad. And he prayed, and he rebuked, and he did all that good stuff, and it got worse. So growing impatient, not willing to file for bankruptcy or any kind of stuff like that, he told his wife, I'm going to set a few days apart for fasting and prayer. I don't know what's going on here. During that time of fasting and prayer, he asked, Lord, what is going on? The Lord said, you have abominable things among your stuff. Me! Yes, you. You got to be kidding me. Me! Yes, you. What are you talking about? The Lord told him, go back to your office. Take a look at your office. So he got up from his prayer room and he goes to his office and he's looking and he's looking and he's looking and what are you talking about? And then his eyes went on the wall and there was that dragon on that nice rug. And then it hits him. The dragon is a symbol of Satan. Although it was given by a Christian brother and sister, it represents something evil. Amen. He says he took that thing to the backyard and set it on fire. Amen. Within days, the money started coming back again. Now, sometimes we travel to different parts of the world and we like to buy artifacts, souvenirs. And sometimes we may bring home something that is accursed. You may say, I think you're pushing. No, I am not. The Bible doesn't say anything. Yes, it does. I don't want to read because it's going to take me too much time. I'll just tell you the story real quick. The people of Israel were told by God that they should go around Jericho 7 times. On the 7th day, they had to go 7 times and blow the trumpets. Y'all remember that? Yes. When the walls crumbled down, they supposed to kill everybody and set the city on fire and burn everything. Still together, right? Yes. There was some lousy idiot called Achan, son of Bichri, that he saw 2 nice Babylonian coats and some other goodies. What did he do? He took all of them. Everything else was burned down. Took all of them, ran to his tent. Woman, get up, get up, get up. What? Get up. Dug a hole. Everything was well wrapped. Put it on the ground and then cover up and then put the carpet on the top. Now you can lay down. Here comes AI, a little town. They say, well, why make the people tired? If everybody here, let's send 3,000 men. It's going to be a piece of cake. When they get to Ai, Ai killed all of them. And the Bible says that Israel ran, and then the people fell with their face on the ground, and they wept, and they cried, "Why has the Lord abandoned us?" And they go to Moses. "What did you do bringing us to die here?" You know, I thank God I wasn't Moses. When God said, "Move out of the way, let me kill the spirit, by all means, please." Moses go to the Lord, and I said, "What are you coming to me for? If my presence didn't go with them, it's because you have accursed things among the people. Call all the tribes by their clans." So they threw the lots, and it fell upon a family, and it came to Bichri, and then came to Achan. Moses and the people said, "Come here, boy, my son, give glory to God. What have you done?" "Well, I didn't mean bad, you know, but when they got into Jericho, they had these two nice Babylonian coats and some silver. What did you do?" I thought about taking it and later giving an offering to God. I don't know. What is it?" It's the middle of my tent. Moses sent the people. And they walk in, "Get up, woman." And they dug, and there it was. So now, it is brought before God. Moses and the leader said, "Because you have brought..." Are you with me so far? "Because you have brought distress upon God's people, the hands of God is upon you. They burn up his tent, the stuff that he took, and they stoned not only him, but the wife and all the children." Whoa! The children didn't do anything, neither did the wife. "You saw and you heard that God said, don't take the garbage from there. And he took it, and nobody said anything. You may not be the perpetrator, but you are an accomplice." That cost them their lives. In many cases, we will not be able to resist the enemy because we have accursed things among our stuff. Are we still together? You may say, "Well, preacher, I hear what you're saying, but this is the Old Testament." Before I show the scripture, let me say this, and I want you to hear this. If we want to get the breakthrough that is taking so long to come, if we want to get deliverance, or get one of family members delivered, we must destroy all paraphernalia that give demons a legal right upon our household. Amen. Why should we do that? Deliverance can be blocked by ungodly things a person possesses. Amen. Does anybody listen to me? You may say, "Well, I still think that you're pushing." That's all right. That's all right. And I'm going to prove it here right now. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 19, we read the following scripture. This is New Testament. Read it with me. "Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totally 50,000 pieces of silver." Are you with me so far?
Yes, folks.
Let's make it easy for you to understand. Brother Harry, may I have the, Dion, give me the Message Bible here. All kinds of witches and warlocks came out of the woodwork with their books of spell and incantations and made a huge bonfire of them. Someone estimated their worth at 50,000 silver coins. Now, is it fair to say that a silver coin like this is worth to do what? $1? No, this
20,
is more.
30.
20 bucks. Let's use the lower number. $20. So it was worth $1 million on literature. If you take 30 bucks for one of these silver coins, it was worth $1.5 million. So what you're saying?
Big fire.
Yes, indeed, it was some big fire. Today, unfortunately, the church has been contaminated by the garbage called yoga. There are churches offering yoga classes, meditation, and every garbage in between. And there are books teaching them how to do it. Get rid of it! Burn it up! It can be a hindrance to prayer answer. It can be a hindrance for breakthrough. And it can sure be a path to defeat. Next week I'm going to deal with false religion, but today I want to talk about accursed things. You might have an old Playboy magazine from the old days, or whatever the other nude magazines may be. You may have several CDs, rock and roll CDs. I was in an airport not too long ago, I think like 2 or 3 years ago. I bought an immorally cheap ticket and didn't realize that I had to go through Panama City. So I traveled from here to the People's Republic of Virginia, took off to Panama City, stayed like 4 hours and catch another flight until South America. While I'm there, I noticed that the crowd was always flocking towards one store. And I'm looking from here, I don't think good thing is for everybody to be there, that's not good. I want to go and look, and I said, nah, I just sat. And I'm tired of being sitting for 2 hours, so the crowd dispersed. I got up and I started walking, and when they come to the front of the store, they were selling a rock band CD. The letters of the thing in the album looked like a coffin, and they had the skulls all over the place. Then I'm asking myself, if you are a Christian, why in the world you're going to buy that kind of junk and take home? So the salesperson came in, want to take one too? I said, God forbid. And then she said, oh, this is heavy metal, whatever that thing is. And they're good. I said, if you would have given it for free, I would have break it. She said, my goodness. Then she walked away. Perhaps we need to go through our stuff. Maybe an old book, an innocent book. Maybe there's some instructive stuff in there, but there's also something about horoscope. A newspaper, a magazine. May have something about horoscope. May have something about what the stars are saying. Stars don't talk. The only thing that they do is declare the glory of God. They proclaim the work of His hand. That's what the Bible says. Nothing else. So according to this scripture here, these people burn about $1.5 million on warlock books, all kind of witch spells and all the junk. Brothers, give me the New Living Translation here. A number of them had been practicing sorcery, brought their incantation books, and burned them at the public bonfire. The value of the books was several million dollars. And you know what they said? Parents today, will you go out and buy for their cute little princess a princess dress and the little stick, the witch stick? Y'all know what I'm talking about? With the little crown? You are getting accursed things. Not that that thing in itself is accursed, but what it represents is accursed. So that can be a strong hindrance for deliverance. That can be a strong hindrance for breakthroughs. And that can be a strong hindrance to answered prayers. My boss telling me to stop now because you're getting bored. So I'm going to stop. Folks, if there ever come a day that my prayers or your prayers wouldn't produce the effective result that we are looking for, we should not give up. We should not get discouraged. Rather, add some fasting to your prayers. Add some fasting to your prayers. And then, remember that demons may have different ranks. They do have it. And some of them will not go away just like that. They're going to put a fight before they leave. You and I have been equipped with power to trap serpents, yes, scorpions, and all the power of the evil one. And nothing will harm us. So if we are doing this and the results are not coming, let's check our wardrobe. Let's check our library. Let's check all the paraphernalia that we may have in the basement or in the garage, where there may be something accursed, which may give demons legal right to hinder the answers of our prayers. You are chosen and called to wrestle against Satan and all the punks that work with him. And remember, wrestling means put pressure on the devil until he gives up. Yes. You and I can do this, because if we couldn't, God wouldn't tell us to do that. We just have to have wisdom to use the power and the authority that has been given to us. Amen. God bless you.